I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent to Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
Yo, he, yo.
Take a scalpel.
Yo, ho, ho, yo.
To the vertebrae.
Yo, he, yo.
I need some suction.
Yo, ho, ho, yo.
Fade the music. It is time for Weird Medicine, the podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my friend P.A. John.
What's up?
And we're doing a Weird Medicine special edition tonight.
Yeah.
I was briefly on the Ron and Fez show today and found out that I made our friend Fez Watley cry.
That's not nice.
No, it wasn't. I really felt crappy. Well, I've talked to him since then, and without divulging too much, we're fine.
Right.
But it really made me feel bad. And
right.
One of the things that this whole thing with our mutual friend has brought to the fore is that anxiety is a real disorder that I think a lot of times people, especially friends of people who have anxiety, don't take seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
it's hard to understand.
It is.
If you don't actually have it or have ever experienced it yourself.
I'm going to tell you a story. This is a story I haven't told very many people, and most of the people who know me have no knowledge of this. But when I was, before I went to medical school, I graduated from college, and I was living in a half, you know, an okay neighborhood in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And I heard a noise on my back porch. Now, before this, I was the kind of guy that would walk through any street or neighborhood in New Orleans when I lived down there, 4 o'clock in the morning, never think twice. I mean, and I was kind of a Pollyanna. I just figured everybody was nice.
What's a Pollyanna?
It was just someone who thinks everything, like I was just getting ready to say, someone who thinks everything is nice,
okay,
and everybody's good. And I just never really thought about it. And so I got along fine. I was never anxious about anything.
Uh-huh.
Well, I heard this noise on the back porch, and there's this guy breaking into my house, right? And I just go, you know, and I just look at him, and I'm still trying to be the friendly guy. I'm going, hey, what's up? And he just walked away and just went, yeah, man, like that, and just walked off my porch. And so he didn't attack me, nothing like that. But I became so anxious at that moment, and it didn't go away for like a year. And I got to the point where I had the classic panic syndrome that devolved in what we call agoraphobia, where I was afraid to leave the house because I would walk down the street and I would say, you know, murderers have walked these same paths that I'm walking now. I'm walking in the footsteps of criminals, and it was awful. I couldn't go to the movies. I mean, I would just get this horrible physical reaction.
Uh-huh.
And I convinced myself I had hepatitis because certainly it couldn't just be anxiety.
I had a bout of anxiety today.
Did you?
Yeah. Talking to someone I haven't spoken to in a long time, and just it'd been a while.
Yeah.
And the relationship that we had before was really good, but since we had been apart, I had thought about things that had happened in the past, and I had built up this weird feeling towards them. So then talking to them today.
Is this a romantic thing?
No.
Okay, because the way you were saying it.
Well, the relationship that we have, without indulging who exactly
it is.
It was
a business relationship.
Yeah, right. And things were very good. And then thinking back on it, it was just not really good.
Yeah.
And then when I was there talking to them today, it was just kind of this hurry up, get it done. Heart pounding, ready to just be over with, and it was just an uncomfortableness.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, back to my story.
Well, okay. Anywho.
I love that story.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah, that was fascinating, John. I forgot where I was and everything. But anyway.
You were walking down the streets of the murderverse.
No, yeah. Yeah, that's the way it was. It was like I'm surrounded by murder.
Thanks,
and,
Jimmy.
And I would I tried to go camping mm-hmm. with my friends, and I would just curl up into a ball in the tent and just couldn't get out. And everywhere I went, I had this sort of visceral physical reaction. And I just thought everybody else that wasn't anxious was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I said, they're just stupid because all this stuff, the world is an awful, awful place filled with awful, awful people. Mm-hmm. And they're all out to kill me or kill somebody. And
for the most part, that's true.
Well, yeah, it's great. So, yeah, I've been symptom free for a long time. And just talking about it is kind of bringing it back a little bit. And
it can.
I
was wondering if that's why you always lock your doors, like triple bolt and everything. Jill and I are coming over, it's like, hey, we're on our way over, and it's like we walk up, it's like
that's what it is.
It's like locked up like Fort
Knox.
That's
exactly what it is. And I am symptom free now. And this is what I want to tell everybody: if you're suffering from anxiety, you mm-hmm. can be symptom free because mm-hmm. I am completely symptom free. But there are a few weird things left over from that, and that's one of them is if I walk in the house, I'm locking the door immediately, and it's just become a habit more than it is a compulsion, because I can leave it unlocked if I think about it. It's not that I have to have it locked. Right. It's just a habit. But I don't like walking past windows when it's dark outside and it's light in the room so that I know there could be somebody out there looking in at me, and I can't see them. So I still have these weird little things, but considering that I was ready to check myself in, I came this close to going into an inpatient unit. That's how bad I was. Hmm. And, you know, our mutual friend has talked about it on the air that he's thinking about going, you know, it's an option to go inpatient.
Right.
And I really thought about it. Mm-hmm. A lot of inpatient units are filled with, you know, really crazy people, though, and you have to choose carefully where you go.
Right.
Because a lot of the lock-in units are used for psychotic people that are actually a danger to themselves or others. I was able, I don't know where I dredged the strength from, but I forced myself to go to work. I forced myself still to go to the grocery store. I forced myself to, you know, go to the movies and go out and stuff, but mm-hmm. I was just really, really uncomfortable. Now, I went to therapy for a while. I found a medication that made me feel better, mm-hmm. which was Compazine, weirdly enough, which is usually used for nausea, but it's an antipsychotic, but it's a tranquilizer. But it's non-addictive, and I'm not recommending anybody use it, but somebody gave it to me because one of my symptoms of my anxiety was nausea.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I felt normal again. And just knowing that I could feel normal again actually helped me to get back to normal.
Right.
Because for a while there, I thought I was never going to feel normal again. I was going to feel like this the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awful. I mean, if I was the kind of person that would contemplate suicide, I would have, you know, I didn't think about killing myself, but I wished that I would die just so I wouldn't have to feel that way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did I finally get cured? Well, I had some pretty understanding friends. They didn't understand what was going on, but they were understanding. They knew that I wasn't the kind of person that just would make up something like this out of the blue. And so they pretty much hung with me, which was very cool. A lot of people weren't lucky that way. I was lucky in a lot of ways, but I was lucky that way. Well, one thing that I really liked, I liked more than I was afraid of going out, was fireworks. And they had fireworks at the North Carolina State Fair that were just unbelievable every year, and it had rained for like 4 or 5 days in a row, and we heard that they were going to shoot off all the fireworks that they had left over in this one night. So I went, and it was really cool, but anytime something really cool and I got excited like that, I would get the anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
If I laughed, if somebody really made me laugh hard, I get anxious. If I had a really good day, it made me anxious. You know, it was crazy.
Yeah.
So I started getting the anxiety, and as we are leaving the place, there was only one little gate you could get out, and I was enclosed on all sides in a sea of people. It was at least 10,000 people, and I couldn't get out. You know, and here I was, and part of my problem, I guess I didn't say this before, was crowds. I was terrified of being in crowds all of a sudden. You know, it was just people scared me. And I got in this crowd of 10,000 people, and we were moving them forward about an inch a minute toward the gate. And it was like, I can either die right now or I can get better. And I got better. You know, after that, my symptoms started to go away. And within a month, I was pretty much back to normal again, except for the weird little things I told you about. So that was a sort of an extreme example of so-called confrontation therapy that people use with phobias. You know, if you're afraid of flying, one way to do it is put you in a virtual reality simulator and make you fly.
Right.
And and it will drive you crazy. Now, Maury Povich,
I was going to say, if you're afraid of cotton balls,
it's just the way he does it is kind of ignorant, because you have to do this in a therapeutic setting,
right?
And you have to do it over and over and over again until the patient gets desensitized from it. Well, I just got desensitized out of necessity. I mean, right. I had no idea that was going to happen, but it really made me better, and my anxiety got better after that. Let's talk.
I have a little story.
Yeah.
When I was younger, junior high school, eighth grade, ninth grade, playing dodgeball, or we used to call it smear the queer. I know.
Oh, anyway, it was so politically incorrect back then.
So anyhow, split up into teams, and this guy comes across, and I got hit, and so I was going to cross to go into the prison or whatever on the other team, so you go behind them. So I jump over the wrestling mat that was dividing the teams, and he smears me again.
Yeah.
And I went, "You asshole."
Yeah.
It was more a little bit more vulgar. And he and his buddies decide that that's not cool. And so they come up behind me, and one of them says, "I'm going to kill you," and all this stuff and whatever. And so then.
How old were you?
I was in eighth, ninth grade, so you know, teenager.
Yeah.
And
old enough to know that this was trouble.
Exactly. And I lived anxiety and in fear for most of that year.
Yeah.
The only thing that got over that was one of the kids that actually did that was on the wrestling team, and I was too.
Yeah.
And they had talked to me that, you know, every time I would pass them in the hallways, it's like, I'm going to get you, I'm going to get you, I'm going to get you. And it was like, they never did anything, but the talk was enough to make me afraid and to have the anxiety.
Yeah.
Nauseous, wanted to die instead of going to school. It was horrible. Well, I went up against that kid in a wrestling match, and I pinned him.
Yeah.
And after I pinned him, I kind of had this overcome feeling that, bring it on, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and then from then on, I was just like, you know, they would say stuff and I would be like, whatever, they're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
I could probably hold my own.
Yeah.
Whatever. Maybe one at a time, but not all three of them. But anyway,
they gave you the confidence,
right? And the other guy never really said a whole lot. The guy that
he probably respected you after that,
a little bit
at least.
Right.
I was, you know, you're making me remember my ninth grade year where I weighed 122 in college, and I was the skinny little shrimp, you know, that just got pounded on, and this group of idiots just decided they were going to pound on me. And, you know, every day in study hall, you know, they did something to me. And I got really anxious about that. I completely forgot about that. And they never really did any real damage to me, but it just terrified me. I mean, it was just a form of terrorism. I was terrorized.
Oh, yeah.
And I finally, what I did was kind of functional. I got out of the study hall where I actually wasn't studying, and went into a friend's algebra class, which I was flunking, and audited this class. And I used the excuse that I was flunking the other class, so I needed some help. And I actually learned some stuff and got away from those idiots. They really did. Once I got out of study hall, I just wasn't the object of their derision anymore, and that was over. But yeah, I forgot about that. High school sucks.
Junior high school sucks.
If you're not one of the badasses, it sucks.
Oh, and then you just join the wrestling team and whoop their ass on the mat.
Yeah, and it's all about the ground war, so.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about types of anxiety disorders. There's five major types of anxiety disorders. Generalized anxiety disorder, which is what we're really going to talk about, or we have been talking about today. There's obsessive compulsive disorder, which people hear about quite a bit about, and there's been specials on TV, you know, and people with compulsive hand washing, and it's something we could talk about someday. I've got a little expertise on OCD.
I got some of it.
Panic disorder, which it really, I guess, is associated with generalized anxiety disorder, where people have these panic attacks and we'll talk a little bit about the symptoms, but those people have these episodes of panic where they panic and they mm-hmm. get fast heart rate and they get an overwhelming anxiety. And the panic disorder people, I guess it's a little debatable which are the closest or the easiest to get agoraphobia, which is fear of going outside. But what happens is, and I think we talked about this on either Ron and Fez or on our show, people will have a panic attack when they're in the grocery store.
Right.
So they don't go to the grocery store anymore.
Right.
And then they'll have one when they go to church.
Right.
So they don't go to church anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll have one when they're driving. Mm-hmm. So guess what? They don't drive anymore.
Right.
And then they'll have one when they're mowing their lawn, so they don't mow their lawn anymore. And the next thing you know, they can't leave the house.
They end up sitting on a toilet for 2 years.
Yeah. Now, the ones sitting on the toilet for 2 years tend to be the OCD people. But the agoraphobics really won't leave their safe zone.
Right.
And hopefully it's wider than the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Usually it'll encompass your whole house. But, you know, they won't drive, they won't get out, and people around them don't understand what's going on.
Right.
And that's what it is. And that's treatable as well. There's also post-traumatic stress disorder, 9/11 disorder, post-Vietnam syndrome, you know, those kinds of things are people pretty well aware of. And social phobia or social anxiety disorder. And, mm-hmm. I had a little bit of panic disorder, some generalized anxiety disorder, and social phobia,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I can relate to at least three of the five possible types of anxiety. But anyway, let's talk about generalized anxiety disorder a little bit, and we'll just go over the symptoms for those people who are out there that might have it. It's characterized by excessive worry, tension, unrealistic view of problems. Well, I just was surrounded by murderers. And then I'd talk myself out of it. I'd say,
right.
You know, if everybody in this town was being murdered, nobody'd live here. And then I could sort of talk myself down from it. You know, there wouldn't be anybody alive, or there wouldn't be anybody who everybody would move out if it was really that bad.
Rational thinking.
And that worked for a while. And then I think, but everybody around me is crazy. They're deluded in this sense of tranquility,
right.
You know, and it would just go back and forth, back and forth. Restlessness or a feeling of being edgy, irritability. I was really, really irritable. And that was just because I had things on my mind all the time,
mm-hmm.
and people were intruding on that. Muscle tension, headaches, sweating, difficulty concentrating. Now, one of the reasons people have difficulty concentrating is because they have intrusive thoughts, and they ruminate, which means that the thoughts just keep coming back over and over and over again.
I kept
seeing that guy on my porch over and mm-hmm. over and over again, and his complete and utter not fear of being caught and just complete disdain of me. You know, over and over, I couldn't get it out of my head. Fatigue, trouble staying asleep because you get woken up with these intrusive thoughts,
right.
Being easily startled, that kind of stuff. And people with generalized anxiety disorder have other anxiety disorders.
Mm-hmm.
I was a good example of that, panic and, you know, social phobia. Now, there are some theories about what caused these anxiety disorders. One of them is that it's caused by genetics. Some people think there's a family history. I think
mm-hmm.
there were some people in my family who I'm not going to name that had anxiety problems.
Right.
Definitely brain chemistry. And this is a chicken and egg thing. They found that people with generalized anxiety disorder have abnormal levels of certain chemicals in the brain. Well, did the abnormal chemicals in the brain cause the anxiety, or did the anxiety cause them to have abnormal levels of chemicals in the brain? I suspect it's probably the latter, but you know, you could be prone to it by having some environmental or genetic factors.
Mm-hmm.
But environmental factors, definitely. I'm reading now from something from MedicineNet that said trauma and stressful events such as abuse, the death of a loved one, divorce, changing jobs or schools may lead to generalized anxiety disorder.
At one time, I had there's something like 10 top things that are the most stressful situations that can cause someone to have anxiety and stress and whatever. At one time, I had like 6 of the top.
Yeah.
Five,
graduating
10.
From school, changing jobs, moving.
Moving, getting married,
yeah.
Money. I mean, it was like every single one of those was going. And it was just like, oh my God, the stress level was just unbelievable.
Yeah, well, we live in a society now, and I don't know that it was any different in ancient Rome. They had things to be anxious about, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like our society, especially with the media and its ability to make things seem like the world is just falling apart, gives people anxiety. I mean, that's why Lunesta and Ambien are some of the most
news
prescribed.
Is the worst.
Yeah, and well, the local news is really bad because
right.
it's just murders and fires and attacks.
Oh, well, I was
going to
say that, like on ONA, can we talk about their show and stuff? On about how they were doing the. Can your house be killing you?
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, those types of things.
Fear-mongering.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they do that to get you to watch.
Right.
Yeah.
They were doing all kinds of those today. And I think they're going to start doing that again.
Well, it's so real. I mean, they're not making any of that up.
Right.
It's all
oh, I
real.
Know.
And it's just unbelievable what the news will do. And
right.
you can turn any local news on, and if they come on at 11 around 10:45, they'll do a teaser for the I guess actually around 10, they'll do a teaser for the news, and it'll always be something, you know, toys in your house are killing your children.
Right.
News at 11. Tell me now.
Right.
My kids got to play with these toys for another hour before you tell me. Yeah, it's ridiculous. All of these things, our world, it seems designed to cause us anxiety, and the media, it does play a big part in that. There's no question about it. Generalized anxiety disorder. About 4 million Americans suffer from generalized anxiety disorder. This is not an uncommon disorder. If you're listening to this, you either have anxiety or you know somebody that has an anxiety disorder. It's a real problem, but it has real solutions. Now, let's talk a little bit about treatment. I found this one medication that made me feel normal. They didn't treat me chronically with it. In other words, I didn't take it every day. And at that time, there really weren't a whole lot of medications out there that were designed just for anxiety disorder other than the Valium-like drugs, which I really didn't want to take. The problem with the Valium-like drugs like Ativan and Xanax and those kinds of things are that they work too well too quickly, and they will make you feel a whole lot better in the acute phase of anxiety.
Right.
The problem is that they're also pretty addictive, and what will happen is if you continue to take them, for a lot of people, the medicine, the habituation to the medicine will make you anxious so that you'll continue to take your medicine.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get off of them. And you can't just stop them cold turkey either because withdrawal from Valium-like drugs can be a real serious thing.
And if you don't get true therapy for whatever it is that's causing the problem.
Yeah, it just never goes away.
Yeah, and then you have this new problem, which is the drug addiction.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's so I am not a big fan of using those by themselves.
Right.
Now, there are some medications out there that are non-addictive that are pretty good for anxiety. Buspar is one of those that I've had some luck with. There are some people it works like magic for, and its generic name is Buspirone. And some people it just does nothing for. And I think that's pretty much the majority. Most people don't do so well on it, but every once in a while you'll get somebody that does really well on Buspar. Again, I think talk therapy in anxiety disorders is really helpful, and group therapy is great. Talking to other people that have the same anxieties that you do or the same disorder that you do is very helpful. antidepressants like Paxil or Effexor or Cymbalta are really good non-addictive medications for anxiety disorders.
Mm-hmm.
They work pretty well for obsessive compulsive disorder, depending on how severe it is. They work really well for anxiety, generalized anxiety disorder, and for panic disorder too, without being addictive. But they take a couple of weeks to kick in good. So what I would often do is give someone a short course of anxiety medicine like Xanax or Ativan, and then give them the antidepressant at the same time. And by the time their Xanax prescription ran out, then the other medicine should be kicking in. And most of those people did pretty well. After 6 months, you can try to taper off the medicine. If your anxiety comes back, go back on it for another 6 months. And then after another, you can go for another year and try to taper back off of it. You don't want to stop those medications cold turkey either, because sometimes the anxiety will just come back, but it's just because you've stopped the medication. So, now, as far as talk therapy, I'm a big fan of what's called cognitive therapy for anxiety disorders. In this kind of therapy, you learn to recognize and change thought patterns and behaviors that lead to troublesome feelings. So this is a real kind of a quick fix. Cognitive therapy often will be as short as 6 weeks and can give you outstanding results. I've not found this typical Freudian psychoanalysis to be as good for anxiety disorders, but deep-seated neuroses maybe. And you just got to talk to your psychiatrist about it. But anyway, so that's just kind of where we're at with this. And I just want people to know that anxiety is a real disorder that affects real people, but it's very treatable and it is beatable. I am a perfect example of that, and a living example that you can beat anxiety disorder.
Yeah, I think the talk therapy is truly fantastic for it.
Yeah,
and again, the group therapy, absolutely fantastic. And knowing that other people can have it resolved, I think helps someone to know. I think the thing that people will get into the back of their mind is that, it's different for me. But just have to trust others in order to know that it can work for you too.
Right. And I felt that way too. I felt like, it's just like when you discover masturbation when you're a kid, you feel like you're the first person to ever discover this. And when I had generalized anxiety disorder, I thought I was the only person that had ever felt this way.
Right.
And I felt so unbelievably alone. And I didn't have the benefit of going through group therapy, but I wish I had. And so, I've had excellent results with patients going through.
I heard masturbation can help with anxiety too.
Yeah, probably in the short term. Who knows?
Helps me.
Well, that's good, John. Glad to know what works for you. Anyway, everybody, Fezzy, get better. We love you, man.
Yes, we do.
We really do. We really, really do. And we really want you to succeed with this. And anybody out there, if you have any questions about generalized anxiety, check out our website at drsteve.com or email us at drsteve202@gmail.com. And we're here for you if we can help. And thanks. That's the end of the special edition of
Weird Medicine,
the podcast.